So, we are on Bereishis Rabba, still the first section of Bereishis Rabba. We are up to the fourth paragraph in Bereishis Rabba. It is a long paragraph, as you will see. Sources 1, 2, and 3 are all from this one medrash. And the truth is, we could easily break this up over a period of weeks to do it and really do it in greater depth than we're going to, but because we don't have class next week, I don't want to do part of the medrash 1 week and then part of it 2 weeks later. I don't think that works well. So we'll see. I think we'll get a very good sense of what's going on, despite not doing everything in the utmost depth. This is the first medrash we're going to see in which there's a text in Bereishis that is the trigger, meaning the last three, the opening three that we saw, all were about sentences elsewhere in Tanakh and how they tied into Bereishis. This is actually about Bereishis and specifically the word Bereishis. That's the operative word here. And the Medrash seems to be troubled, I'm going to say it now rather than have us figure it out, by the use of the term Reishis instead of using perhaps Barishon or Barishona. Because, as I think we mentioned last week, Reishis suggests beginning of something. And all of the Mefarshim, all the commentators are bothered by that. They want to know why, the beginning of what. And so some suggest it's Bereishis bara Elokim, in the beginning of God creating the heavens and the earth, even though the word bara grammatically doesn't work so well. But some take it as in the beginning of God's creation of the heavens and the earth. Others say, well, don't worry about it. Bereishis is like Barishon, just like saying in the beginning. This Medrash is going to give us two explanations for the word Bereishis. One of them is going to use the method that we think of as Remez. And we talked about Remez briefly our first week, but now we're going to talk about it in greater depth. And the other is a method that we call Drash. And again, we'll talk about what that means. So let's take a look at this Medrash. And we're going to go through it quickly now and then try to get a handle on it. It begins, Bereishis bara Elokim, in source number 1. And I just translated it as, in the beginning God created. You could have done it as, in the beginning of God's creation, just as easily. Shisha devarim kadmu libriyas ha'olam. Six things preceded creation of the world. Yesh mehen shenivri'u. Some of them were actually created before the world was created. V'yesh mehen sha'alu b'machshava lehibaros. Some of them were planned for creation, but they weren't actually created. So, six things God says before he ever creates the universe, these must be here. Either I need them now, or I know that I have to design my universe to include them. They are musts for my universe to exist. Whatever we're about to see on this list is fundamental to the nature of the universe, such that God says, without them, there's no point. Okay. That's pretty good. What's on our list? So I underlined it in the text, in the Hebrew and the English, so we could quickly identify the list. The first two, HaTorah v'HaKisei HaKavod. Torah, and the literally throne of glory, throne of honor, it means God's throne. Obviously, God doesn't have a body, therefore he doesn't sit, therefore he doesn't need a throne. Nonetheless, the concept is that there is a point which is the point where God resides in this universe. That's called the Kisei HaKavod. What that means for God to reside in a place is a good question, totally beyond the scope of what we're doing tonight. So, Torah and Kisei HaKavod, how do you know that these were created before the universe? Because Torah minayin, how do I know? Torah shnamar, because the pasuk says, it's in Mishlei Proverbs, Hashem kanani reishis darko. God formed me, the Torah is speaking there. We saw this pasuk in an earlier medrash. God formed me, the Torah, the first of his path. So before there was anything else, God created Torah. We talked about that the first week, God using Torah as a blueprint for the world. Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory, minayin, how do I know that this was there in the beginning? Dichsev, because the pasuk says, David says, Nachon Kisacha Me'az, God, your throne was founded from then, from us, And we understand that to mean it was founded from the very beginning. God's throne was established from the start. When we say from then, we mean from the very beginning. So Torah and God's throne are there from the get-go. And then the other four items on the list are ha-avos, the avos. Avos I translated here as ancestors, not as patriarchs, for reasons that we'll see in a moment. The avos. V'Yisrael, Israel, by which we mean not the land, but the people, the nation. U'beis ha-mikdash, the temple. U'shmo shel Mashiach, and the name of Mashiach. What that means, we're going to come back to. We're not abandoning that question. All these four, alu b'machshava lihibaros, these are things God planned to create. How do I know that? Now, here you're going to see, if you're following in the Hebrew or in the English, actually, you'll see in brackets, I added words. One thing that's very important to understand about the editions of Medrash that we have is that the printers very often cut short the pasuk they were quoting, rather than typeset an entire sentence with 10 to 15 words where they're going letter by letter in the original typesetting. What they would do instead is they would quote you four words and then write Vav Gimel Vav, which stands for Vigomer in English, etc. That's fine. They're entitled to do that. The problem is that sometimes the words that they skip are actually the key to the Medrash, without which we don't understand what the Medrash is doing. So what I did here was I reintroduced the missing words in brackets. And you'll see why I did it, as right on this line. Ha'avos minayin. How do I know that the avos, the ancestors, were there, were planned before creation? Shenamar. The pasuk says it's in Hosea. Ka'anavim bamidbar matzase Yisrael. Like grapes, in the wilderness I found Israel. This sometimes gets mistranslated as Ka'anavim bamidbar matzasi Yisrael. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness, or like grapes in the desert. And you know that that's not the translation, because there are no grapes in the desert. It's Ka'anavim, like grapes, I found Israel, I encountered Israel after they had gotten out of Egypt in the wilderness. So he says, this is Hashem speaking. I encountered Israel in the wilderness, kibikura bateina, like the first fig, bereshisa, at its beginning, ra'isi avos echem, I saw your ancestors. So the avos we're talking about here are not Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, or for that matter, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, etc. Rather, it's the first generation of Jews who leave Egypt, who received the Torah in the Midbar, in the wilderness. That's who we mean when we say ancestors. And they were planned from the beginning. The rest of the pasuk concludes, Hey mabo bal peor vayinazru laboshes vayushi kutzim ke'ahavam. They came to Baal Peor, the place of idols. They separated themselves for shame and were repellent like that which they loved. Which obviously is not a positive part, and I can understand why the Medrash doesn't want to quote that. But these words are important. The Matzasi Yisrael and all that in the Midbar, because otherwise I wouldn't have known what avos we meant. I wouldn't have understood what we're actually referring to are the desert generation of Jews. So they were planned from before creation. What that means, we have to come back to. Right now we're just going through the text. Yisrael minayin. How do I know that Israel was planned from the beginning? The Jewish people were planned from the beginning. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, Zichor adascha, we say to God, remember your nation, Kanisa kedem, that you formed in the beginning. At creation, in the beginning. Beis HaMikdash minayin. How do I know that Beis HaMikdash was from the start? Shenamar, quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, calling the Beis HaMikdash Kisei Kavod, the throne of glory, like the term throne of glory we used before. Marom, elevated, Me Rishon, from the start. So it was there from the start, even though physically it didn't exist. It was planned from the start. Shmo shel Mashiach minayin, and how do I know the name of Mashiach? Shenamar, because the pasuk says, Yehi shmo le'olam, his name, discussing Mashiach. So his name of this anointed one should be forever, and then the rest of the pasuk, which is the key, lifnei shemesh yinon shmo. Before the sun, meaning from before there was a sun, his name grew. So we don't know what Mashiach's name is yet, but his name was there before there even was a son. So that's my list of six. Let's just recap what's on the six. What's in the six? Torah, the throne of Hashem's glory, the first generation of Jews, the nation of Israel in general, the Beis HaMikdash, and this mysterious name of Mashiach. Rabbi Ava, Rabbi Zeira, Amar, Af Hatshuva. He says, not just those six. I got a seventh. Right? There's always one. I have a seventh. What is it? Repentance. Shneamar, I'll prove it to you. It's a pasuk. B'terem harim yuladu, before mountains were born, that pasuk continues to say, at that time, before mountains were born, tasheva enosh ad daka v'tomer shuvu b'nei adam. It says, God, you reduce man to daka. Daka is like dikaon, today's use for depression. But it means, you reduce man to regret, v'tomer shuvu b'nei adam. And you declare that he should repent. You declare, repent, sons of man, so that the call for repentance existed before there were even mountains. So the first part of our Medrash says, Bereshis, there were six things before the world was created. How do you get that from the word Bereshis? What the Medrash is doing is what we call Remez. It's a hint. It takes the word Bereshis, which we've identified as a problematic word, and it breaks it in two to say Bara Shis. Shis, in Aramaic, is six. God created six. So Bereshis, he created six, Bara Elokim es Hashemayim ves Haaretz, and then he created heavens and the earth. That's fine, unless you are Rabbi Ava, Rabbi Zera, who has introduced a seventh, of course. But that's the idea that the Medrash is picking up on. It is a perfectly acceptable form of remez, hinting at something in the pasuk. When we say something is remez, this is an important idea, I think. When we say something is on the level of a hint, what that means is, this is an idea that exists independently within Torah. In this case, the concept that there were certain things that preceded the universe. That exists independently within Torah. And here is a way that I can anchor it in the text, because there's a hint here. You could take the word Bereshis and split it into Barashis. Even if I had never found this hint in the Chumash, I would still believe that these were here before creation. That's what makes this remez. It's a hint to an idea that exists independently anyway. You follow? And if I call it proof, it's an anchor. I don't know if I would call it even proof of anything, because it just became seven after being six. But that's one answer for this bara shis, for the definition of the word Bereshis. But then, in the second part of the Medrash, which we have here in source number two, and we're going to come back to part number one. We're not done with it. We just have to get through the Medrash itself. But in source number two, we're going to see more about this list of six. Aval eini yodea eze mehen kodem. He says, I don't know which one is first. You have your list of six, but if you're going to tell me now, these are the really important things in the world, because they're there before creation, or they're planned before creation, which one was the most important? The thing that God said must be there for anything else to happen. Right. So he says, Ima Torah kadma l'kisei hakavod, v'ima kisei hakavod kodem l'Torah. These two things, which you said were actually created before everything, Torah and Hashem's throne of glory, which one came first? So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said, HaTorah kadma l'kisei hakavod. Torah was first. Before there was a throne of glory for God, there was a Torah. Why? Because he says, go back to the sentence from Proverbs 8:22 that we quoted. It said, Hashem kanani reishis darko, God formed me, the Torah, the first of his path. And the pasuk continues, I brought it in brackets, terem mif'alav me'az, before the things he created, before his creations, from then. So he takes the word az, then, and says, Kodam la'oso shakasu bo nachon kisacha me'az. The word az then was used for the throne of glory. We said that was founded then. The Torah is even before that which was founded then. So Torah is first. You want to know what was first on the list? Torah was first on the list. There's your connection to Shavuos, by the way. We're going to come back to that. But the Torah was there first. But then along come Rav Huna and Rabbi Yirmiyah, and they trump him. And they say, not so fast. Rav Huna, Rabbi Yirmiyah, B'shem Rabbi Shmuel, Barav Yitzchak, Amru, they said, Machshavasan shal Yisrael kadma lechol davar. The thought of creating a nation of Israel, a nation that would receive the Torah, that would bond with God, that preceded everything, including the Torah itself. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Mashal lemelach shayanasu lematrona achas. He says, let me give you an allegory. Think of a king who's married to a certain matron. He has one wife, this woman. V'lo hayalomi menabein, and he doesn't have a son from her. Pam achas nimsa melach over bashuk. One day, the king is traveling in the marketplace. Amar tzlu milanin, v'kalmin zu libni. And he says, do me a favor, take this ink, take this quill, give it to my son. He doesn't have a son. V'hayu akol omrin, and everybody's saying, bein ein lo, he doesn't have a son. V'u omer tzlu milan v'kalmin zu libni. And he's saying, take the quill, take the ink, and give it to my son. What's going on? Ilulei shetzafa ha-melech shu'asi la-hamid mimena bein, lo haya omer tzlu milan v'kalmin libni. You know, there's no way the king would be saying, bring the melan and bring the ink, and bring the kalman and the klumman, bring the quill to my son, unless he knew he was going to have a son. It must be that this was a hint from the king. He knows he's going to have a son. What does that have to do with us? Open the Torah. The question was asked in the first week when we said the Torah was created from the very beginning. Just how literal is that? Well, according to this, it's very literal. Kach ilulei shetzafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu sha'achar chav vavdoros Yisrael asidin lekabel as HaTorah. Had God not known that after 26 generations, the length of time from Adam and Chava until the generation that stands at Sinai, had God not known that after 26 generations the Jews would receive the Torah, lo haya kosev b'Torah tzavos b'nei Yisrael, daber el b'nei Yisrael, he wouldn't have included B'nai Yisrael, all through the Torah. The Torah is filled with, tell the Jews this, speak to the Jews and say that. Obviously, the plan from the beginning was that they would be Jews. Because otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. And the Jews are in mind before he creates the Torah. Otherwise, how did we make it into the text? That's this second part of the Medrash. So that, and this is my title for the shiur you see at the top of the page, before creation, before anything, there must be human beings who will have this connection to God, who will receive His Torah, and that's going to be Yisrael. So that's our second part of this Medrash. Now we get to the third part. The third part, the last part, thank you for hanging in so far, is the shortest part. And then we're going to come back and try to make heads or tails of what we're doing here. The third part is, Amar Rabbi Benai. Rabbi Benai goes back to the original question of what does the word Bereishis mean anyway? And he says, I'm going to tell you. He says, I'm going to tell it to you outside of the text first, rather than after, because I think it'll help understand the text. He takes the word Bereishis and breaks it down into Bereishis. Be as a prefix, right? Meaning, not just in, which is usually what we do with it, right, like in the beginning of, but rather for the sake of, because of, be gracious, because of gracious, Hashem created Shemayim and Aretz. Because of gracious, bara Elokim es Hashemayim ve'es Haaretz. Now, what is gracious, we're going to have to explain. But because of something that's called gracious, Hashem created Shemayim Baris. This is not unprecedented in Chumash. I thought I was going to bring it on here, but I see that I didn't. But there are other cases in the Chumash where the letter bet is used as a prefix to mean because of something. One example is Bereishis, Perek Tet Pasuk Gimel, chapter 9, sentence 3. Hashem says, Lo yadon ruchi ba'adam le'olam, bishagam hu basar. God says, I'm not going to wait patiently forever for human beings to get this right, because of the fact that they are flesh. Because of bi shegam hu basar. The bi there is a prefix meaning because. So that's what's being done here. Because of Reishis, Hashem created the world. Now, what is Reishis? So that's what makes for the third part of our Medrash. Amar Rabbi Benai says, Ha'olam umlo'o lo nivra ela bizchus ha-Torah. He says, the world and all within it were created only in the merit of Torah. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, Hashem bechokhma yasad eretz. God founded the earth in, meaning because of, chachma, wisdom, which means Torah. God creates the world because of Torah. So he says it means, Reishis means Torah. Not because the word Reishis is used for Torah, but because he says he's creating it for the sake of this wisdom. Rabbi Brechia Amar Bizchus Moshe. Rabbi Brechia says, no, it's in the merit of Moshe. What do you mean? Shneamar Vayar Reishis Lo. Now there, I see what I did. I included it in brackets in the English. I didn't put it in brackets in the Hebrew. I should have. But they bring you the rest of the pasuk. Kisham chakas mechokek safun is the rest of the part that's relevant. And what it's talking about is, this is Moshe's bracha, his blessing he gives to all of the different tribes. And he's describing the tribe of Gad. Remember that the tribes of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh end up camping on the eastern side, living on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They say, we're not entering. So in the bracha, he says, about the tribe of Gad, Vayar Reishis Lo, Kisham Chalkas Mechokek Safun. Literally, he saw the beginning for himself, meaning the land at the entry into Israel for himself, because that's where the portion of the Mechokek, the lawgiver, Moshe, was stored. By which we mean, Moshe's buried there. Moshe, the Mechokek, the lawgiver, doesn't make it into Israel. God says, I want the land on the eastern side of the Yarden. I want the land where Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be buried. So Moshe, predicting this in his speech, as this is understood in the Medrash, is saying, God, Vayah Reishis Lo, they saw the Reishis for themselves, because that's where me, where I, he's talking about himself, am going to end up being buried. That's what Moshe says. So that the word Reishis could mean the first land, but they're taking it here in the Medrash to mean Moshe himself. The word Reishis refers to Moshe, and therefore, Bereishis bara Elokim, God created the world in the merit of Moshe. The whole universe exists because God wants there to be Moshe. Last part, Rav Huna, B'shem Rav Masna, Amar, Bizchus Gimel Devarim Nivra HaOlam. He says the world was created for three things which are called Reishis. Bizchus Chala, U'Bizchus Masros, U'Bizchus Bikurim. Chala is the dough tithe, right? When you make bread, you separate off and you give it to the Kohen. The Bizchus Masros, the tithe of the Masros, meaning whether that's the first Maaser that goes to the Levi, or the Maaser Ani that's going to go to the needy person, Maaser Sheni you're going to bring to Yerushalayim. U'Bizchus Bikurim, and because of the first fruit that you bring to Yerushalayim and give to the Kohen. Those are the things called Reishis. U'Matam, what's the reason for saying that? Bereishis Bara Elokim. Ve'ein Reishis Ela Chala. He says Reishis refers to Chala, Shneamar, because the Torah describes it as Reishis Ariso Sechem, the first of your dough. Ve'ein Reishis Ela Masros. It refers to the Meiser. Why? Hechdat Amar Reishis Degoncha, because the Torah says the first of your grain. Ve'ein Reishis Ela Bikurim, and it's the first fruit. Shneamar Reishis Bikurei Ad Masacha, because the Bikurim are introduced as the first of the fruits of your land. So the word Reishis is the first of, it's all of these firsts. It's the challah, it's the tithe, it's the bikurim. So we've now read through this medrash. This approach, this latter approach, is more drush than it is remez. It's drash. We're taking this prefix, this bet prefix, and saying, don't read it the way you might have been tempted to, but say it a little bit differently. Read it a little bit differently, but it's a normal standard method of translating a prefix. It's not like this is way out unusual. And from it, he's drawing the idea that it's because of Reishis, and now we just have to explain what Reishis might mean. So, the upshot is, what does the Torah mean when it starts with Bereishis? One of two things. Either God created six things before he created the world, that's one approach, or second approach, God created the world because of the things that are called Reishis. Now, if we were taking our time with this medrash, I would throw this open for questions and challenges. But because we're dealing with such a lot of text here, and there's so much to go through this week, because we don't have the option of holding it for next week, I'm going to take the liberty of asking the questions. You just have to provide the answers, and then we go home. So, first of all, why these six? What in the first answer that they give, these are the six things. We've determined that God created six things before the world. So, it's a nice list, don't get me wrong. But couldn't you think of something else that should be on the six?
Well, they have proof.
They have psukim. So is it simply that we have psukim for these, then that we couldn't have brought psukim for other things?
It's pretty much full circle. It's the beginning and the end.
What do you mean?
It means in the beginning, Torah is a blueprint, as we know. And then it's Mashiach, the goal of creation, and everything goes all the way with repentance.
Okay. Maybe. And maybe it's because we have psukim for these things. Maybe it's because it's a nice sort of arc of history. I'm cheating because I know that we have other sources that are going to have other items on the list and not these. So I'm asking the question sort of expecting, well, there are other things that could be on this list. I'm also bothered. What's the seventh thing doing here?
Yeah, that one doesn't belong.
I don't know if it belongs or doesn't belong, but nothing belongs. It said six.
I think those.
Is he kicking somebody off? Who's off the list now? Or is he just saying, you know, we should read it as Bar Sheva? I don't think so. I don't think he can do that. That's another question. And then another question, part two. What's the lesson of the order here? Well, this came first, and this came before that, and this came before that. What's the message in that order? And then in the second answer that he gives, when he says, well, these things are called reishis, I can tell you there are other things in the Torah that have the word reishis associated with them. There are other things in the Torah that you could have done something with to say reishis. Why is it that these in particular are brought? What's the lesson? What is this Medrash trying to tell me besides here's an interesting thing to do with the word voracious? So let's go back to the first question of why these six and look at them in light of the psukim that come with them. So Torah is the first on our list. And we know that one. We saw that our first week. God creates the world using Torah as the blueprint. That we see. The divine throne. Look at the pasuk we use. Nachon kis'acha me'az. Your throne, God, has been established from then, from the beginning. The throne, to me, indicates majesty, right? It's something regal. And control. It's established. It's founded. The term nachon suggests something that is firm and is never going anywhere. And it continues in that sentence, me'olam ata, you have always been there. It's the eternality of God. It suggests divine might. Avos, here, we said, is the ancestors, but we meant the first generation of Jews to come out of Egypt. What's special about that generation?
They got the Torah.
They got the Torah. What else?
They died.
Well, all generations in history so far have done so.
Entering Israel.
They died before entering Israel. They died as a punishment. Right. What else?
Not all of them.
Not all of them. The women make it through. That's true. What else?
They saw God's action.
They saw great miracles, right? I mean, you don't get miracles like they saw. Yam Suf, the Mun, the clouds, the fire, you name it. They left Egypt, yeah.
Proof tech is very, very strange.
Yeah, because?
It just doesn't make any sense all around.
Because?
Nothing about it makes sense. First of all, kind of in grapes, and then they sinned in Balpor. Like, what does that have to do with it? It's just a
right.
very strange.
It's a very interesting pasuk.
It makes no sense. It doesn't certainly fit. Certainly nothing. Why would God want to create the Jewish people because they're going to send a ball for it?
Right. What do we know about the grape? The same thing is true for the fig, but the grape is more familiar to us.
It keeps away thirst, my mother tells me. It's for a fast. It's good for a fast. So
what else can we do with it?
Wine.
Wine, which has the potential for.
Or
drunkenness, mm-hmm. right? The grape is sort of the ultimate double-edged sword, as is the fig. What are the figs? What is the fig associated with first in the Torah? The Menchava, right? God gives them clothing made out of fig leaves to cover themselves, says the Gemara. They ate from the fig, the fruit on this tree. There are different views presented in the Medrash, but this view that's presented there is that the fig was the fruit on the tree of knowledge, and it could have been wonderful, and the leaf actually ends up being their clothing, but it's also destructive. It goes both ways. This generation that we're talking about, this first generation of Jews, has everything. They see the greatest heights. They see all the miracles of getting out of Egypt, and Yam Suf, and Har Sinai, and the Mun, and so on, and so on, and so on. And on the other hand, they sink to the greatest depths. They're the Egel, they're the spies, they're the complainers, we don't have water, and we don't have meat, and we don't like the Mun, and Korach's rebellion. They're the height, and they are the depth. I think the Medrash cuts off the sentence precisely because it doesn't want to bring the negative content from the end, where it says it explicitly. What I'm saying here is really just from the pasuk. They were wonderful. They were like grapes. They were like the first fig, an image of Bikurim, of the wonderful first fruits. And they came to Baal Peor, and they separated themselves for shame, and they became repellent. It's both. The capacity for both is here. And then you have Israel, by which we don't mean the first generation, but we mean the pledge for the ongoing survival of the Jewish people. The Beis HaMikdash, the place in the world that will be the throne of God's glory, as identified in the pasuk brought here from Yirmiyah. And then the name of Mashiach. So that one is a real stumper, because not only do I not know what that means, you created the name of Mashiach, I don't know how you create a name. What does that mean? God decided, there's a baby that's going to be born, and I'm torn. I'm not sure whether to name him Nehorai or whether I should name him Yitzchak. And he chose the name of Mashiach. What does that mean? What is creating a name? So three different views that I've seen brought. One is the Yafei Torah commentary on the Medrash says, you're right, it shouldn't say created. It should really say called. God called the name of Mashiach. But since all the other items on the list are listed as creation, so he uses the word creation, even though it's not so relevant. That's one approach. There's another sefer that I saw quoted in the Eitz Yosef that suggests it doesn't mean a name in the sense of a name. What it actually means is a neshama, the life. He created the soul of Mashiach. And brings a proof from the pasuk in Rus, when at the end of the Megillah, there's another Shavuos connection for you, at the end of the Megillah, when Rus has a baby, so there they called his name, saying, Yulad Bein Lenaami. But it doesn't mean that they called his name, they named him. What it means is that they declared, a baby is born, a baby has been born. It's a recognition of life, it's not an actual naming. So name here may be in the existence of Mashiach. Yeah, Nafi Yosef offers another explanation, that it's the fact that he's going to bring people to life. He's going to be usher in Chias HaMesim, the ultimate resurrection of the dead. I'm good with the middle answer, that it's not literally the name, but we think of names. That's my list of six. I have Torah as the plan of the universe. I have God's throne, His majesty, His control. I have that first generation of Jews with all their potential. I have the ongoing existence of the Jewish nation. I have a Beis HaMikdash, and I have a name of Mashiach. You can almost start to identify pairs here. Torah and the divine throne at the beginning. Torah is the blueprint of the universe, and the throne is the throne of God's glory. Then you have the first generation of Jews and the ongoing nation. And then you have Beis HaMikdash and the identity of Mashiach. And then we throw in, why not, tshuva. And it's also not just tshuva. It's not just repentance. It's God's statement that he's willing to accept tshuva. The fact that God declares, repent. So it's the divine willingness to accept it. That's my opening list, 6 + 1. Now flip the page, please. Number one there, in source number 4, you'll see that list that we just did. I don't know if you were following with that all along, but I put it there. Hopefully that will be helpful. Because when you deal with lists like this, it's very hard to keep track of everything. But then take a look at source number 5. You see, source number 5 is a Gemara in Nedarim, which also talks about things created before the universe. and also brings psukim, many of which actually match what we're talking about here. But the list isn't the same list. Go figure. Shiva devarim nivru kodem shenivra haolam. Seven things were created before the world was created. Eluhain, and here they are. Torah, check. That's on our list. Uchuva, well, that was the seventh one we had. Gan Eden v'Gehenem, the Garden of Eden, and Gehenem, the place of punishment. Kisei HaKavod, the divine throne of glory. Beis HaMikdash, temple. Ushmo Shel Mashiach, in the name of Mashiach. So what did they add into the list that we did not have? Gan Eden and Gehenem, right? And what did they drop from the list?
Israel
and the Avos. They're very interesting. There's a change of theme. There's something going on here that we have this substitution. What is the difference between the list in number 5 and the list that we saw in the beginning, which you can see summed up in source number 4, so you don't have to flip back and forth? I didn't bring you all the psukim that they use in that source in the Dharam just because I felt we had a lot of text already to work with. But the ones that we have that are common to both lists, they use the same psukim. They're not substituting psukim. But when I asked the question before of why these items, and I said I'm sure you could do things with other items, it's because I knew source number 5, and I knew you could do it with Gan Eden, and you can do it with Gehenim. You can find psukim that indicate they're there from the beginning. So what is the difference in theme that leads one source to include the Jews, first generation and the nation, and the other source to include instead Gan Eden, Gehenim, reward and punishment? I've been doing a lot of talking. I also spend a lot of time thinking about this Midrash. So what I came up with as my own idea is the list in this Gemara in source number 5 is focused on the way that God runs the universe. Look at the pairs. And here it's paired very clearly. You have Torah, which is the blueprint for the universe and what people are supposed to do. And then you have repentance for people who don't manage to keep Torah. But it's about, fundamentally, God's view of the world. He lays out a blueprint, and he offers the chance for repentance for those who can't stick to it. Gan Eden and Gehenim, the reward God will provide for people who do what's right, and Gehenim, the punishment for those who do not do what's right. The divine throne, sort of God's seat up in the heavens, although we really haven't explained what that means. And the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, which is God's place down here on earth. The place dedicated to God here. And then the name of Mashiach, who ushers in the ultimate reunion of human beings with God. But it's much more about the way God runs the universe. Our list, on the other hand, by subbing out Gan Eden Gehenim and subbing in the first generation of Jews and the nation itself, is more about the human being's role, the human being's relationship with God. That's my suggestion. Now, I'm okay with the idea that we end up with 7 and don't stick to the 6, because again, the 6 idea was remez. It was a nice hint to something that exists independently. But if you accept the idea that I'm proposing, that our list is about the human being's relationship with Hashem, I think that helps us answer the questions that we started out asking. Number 1, we asked, what is tshuva adding to the list? Well, if our list is about the relationship between the human being and God, and it's about us, then it's crucial that we have tshuva on the list. It's not just, here's a 7th item. We need that item. Without it, God is simply the judge and executioner. Right? People live until they fall short, and then they're dead. Tshuva allows for a relationship. More than that, go back to the source number 2, the second part of the Midrash, where it talked about the order of things. What was the first thing that was suggested to be first, so to speak? When we, in source number 2, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said, what came first? Torah, before the throne of glory. Because in order to have divine glory, you need Torah and its mitzvos. Right? Without that, There is no glory of God in the world. You need Torah. But he gets trumped by Rav Huna and Rav Yirmiyah quoting Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak. Because he says, in order to have Torah and its mitzvahs, you need a nation that's the address that's going to receive it. Look at the Torah. It's filled with Daberel b'nei Yisrael, Tzavas b'nei Yisrael. If you don't have a listener, then there is no Torah. There has to be an audience. There has to be a group that's going to actually stand at Har Sinai and say, we are going to do this. So that the we are written into the Torah itself. Hence the mashal with the king, and he knows he's going to have a child. Hashem knows he's going to have a nation here. It's built into the nature of the universe itself. That's why this order matters. When you say, well, which one came first? We want to know what's the most important part. And the most important part is that there be a relationship between Hashem and humanity. There has to be a first generation with all of its pluses and all of its minuses. They're going to be the grape and the fig, right? With everything that entails. They and their descendants are critical for there to be a universe with any meaning. And then, look at the second answer that's offered. The second answer that's offered was in source number 3. Rabbi Benai, Rabbi Brechia, Rabbi Masna, they said, Bereshis means Bereshis, because of Reshis. Look carefully at their list of items that they include. It is a remarkable set of 3. It is one of the most famous sets of 3 in all of Torah. The first item is Torah. The second is Moshe. The third is various tithes that are given to Kohanim, to priests, to needy people. Right? If it doesn't ring a bell, look at source number 7. Shimon HaTzadik haya misharei Knesset HaGedola, the second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Shimon HaTzadik is of the remnant of the Great Assembly. Hu haya omer, he used to say, Al shlosha devarim ha'olam omeid, the world stands on 3 things. What does that mean, the world stands on 3 things? It's a camera. No, the world stands on 3 things. The world is supported by, is able to exist because of, 3 things. 3 things which are so important that the world is created because of them. Bereshis. Torah, Avodah, service of God, and Gemilus Chasadim. Who's our list? Torah is the first one that we quoted. Right? Rabbi Benai said, in the merit of Torah. Then we have Moshe. Moshe, who is identified as Eved Hashem. B'chol b'si ne'eman hu. No one worships God. No one performs Avodah like Moshe does. There is no one who is Moshe's equal, beginning to end, which is a very hard thing to say, but I think it's safe. There is no one who is an Eved in the way that Moshe is an Eved. Moshe is Avoda. And then Gemilus Chasadim, acts of kindness, giving something to the Kohen, giving something to the Levi, giving something to the pauper. That's Gemilus Chasadim. So what we're seeing here in this answer is these are the elements that are necessary for the world to be maintained. A nation has to come along and do these things. So what I see here is a medrash which, on a very simple, straightforward level, is taking the word Bereshis and saying, what does this word mean? And giving us, well, Barashis, God created 6 things before the world, and Bereshis, God created the world because of these things called Reshis, but it's really giving us a deep message about why the world is created. What's the point of having a world? And the point of having a world, we're told here, is that there should come a nation which is going to stand at Har Sinai and accept the Torah, which is going to fulfill that Torah, which is going to live an existence of Torah, Avodah, Gemilus, Chasadim, which is going to create a Beis HaMikdash, which is going to serve God in this world. Now, I brought you 2 last things here, just because I couldn't not bring them. One is source number 8. This is a case in which the Gemara itself uses this Bereshis, Bara, Shis idea in a different way. It talks about what are called Shisin. Shisin were the channels in the Mizbeach, in the altar, in the Beis HaMikdash. And you would pour wine on the altar when you brought certain offerings. And then once a year you'd pour water when you on Sukkot, when you did the Nisach HaMayim, pouring water on the altar. So these channels, it says, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, they learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, Bereshis, Al Tikre Bereshis, Ela Barashis. Don't read it as Bereshis, read it as Barashis, meaning he created the channels. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Shisin, Mechulalin, V'yoredim Ad HaTahom. Rabbi Yossi said these channels descended from the altar to the depths. What does that mean? There's no altar, there's no Mizbeach, there's no Beis HaMikdash yet. It doesn't mean that God created holes so that there could one day be a Beis HaMikdash there. The idea is that having a Beis HaMikdash, a place where we are going to bring offerings to God, is inherent in creation. It's the same idea we've been talking about. They just took Barashis, in another direction, but ultimately with the same end.
But every source already is at the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we need to look at them?
Only because this is somebody else who's bothered by the word Barashis, does the same attempt to parse the word in a unique way, and in fact did Barashis, which we took Shis as Aramaic, meaning six, but he uses Shis in another, as another word, which is a channel, and... Well, it depends. I mean, the word Shis exists outside of this medrash, meaning Shisin was the classic name for them. So that's not unusual, but I would definitely classify this as Remez, as a hint, to the idea which exists separately of Beis HaMikdash being created, the idea of a Beis HaMikdash being present before the universe is created. That's the way that I would look at it. It's simply providing it with an anchor in the text. The last pasuk I brought there was simply to show the idea in Tehillim. I didn't translate it because there are different ways to translate the sentence, but the idea of Olam Chesed Yibaneh, which I'm taking here to mean the world will be created with Chesed, with kindness, which fits the idea of the tithes that we mentioned there. There are a lot of different ways to take that sentence. We're going to see it elsewhere in Medrash. But the point overall is, this teaches us about the purpose of the world. That's what it's telling me. In a Medrash at the start of Bereshis Rabbah, because we are still very much at the start of Bereshis Rabbah, we are learning from the word Bereshis why we're here. What's this creation all about? And ultimately the importance of the individual who says, I'm going to accept this Torah. Which I think is actually a pretty good way to enter Shavuos. Again, no class next week.